This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Good morning, Al. You're next up on 98.7.
Dave, when the Knicks are good, man, your analytics are on a different level, man.
They use analytics with the Knicks. Like, Knicks are enjoyable to watch. Is that analytics now?
Why does it bother you so much?
Because that's your Knicks take. Oh, I really have fun watching this Knicks team.
The Knicks are great. I love watching this team.
What analytics are the Knicks are you breaking down? Is the Saturday show that you dip into the bag of analytics?
Rico, you know he saves his best stuff for his solo show.
What's even on this Saturday?
So what are the analytics that the caller is speaking of?
Apple, hammer, saw, maybe pair, maybe not. I'm not sure.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on.
What I have to deal with. I turn on my microphone. I want to be part of a three-man show where we all get along and have each other's back. And it's just, it's not the situation that we're in right now.
Well, you got a lot of back. I mean, Canty and I, it's hard-pressed to cover all that.
I mean,
there's only so much
funny
we can do.
That's not even funny.
That was funny.
No one has ever said,
God, why are you so sensitive? What happened to you this weekend? The dogs? I don't get it. All of a sudden, it's Monday. You should be fully rested. You're all sensitive.
Fully rested. I slept less this weekend than I normally do.
Whose fault is that?
Saturday morning? What a disaster with these dogs. What a disaster. So,
but what happened now? Here's the thing, though. I don't feel bad for you.
No, and nor should you. No, it's my own fault, my own stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't even imagine. So Sherry has been waking up middle of the night all week, and I said, when they wake up on Saturday morning, wake me up. I'm going downstairs. I'll take care of the dogs. So I get the tap on the shoulder. They're crying. They need to go out. Okay, I got it. I'll go down. So they're in these like harness things, but she doesn't put them on overnight because she's concerned that they'll get caught in the cage. So they're basically naked when I go down there in the morning. And I have to put these harness things on. So I open the crate, and they're trying to bustle out. I try to put the harness thing on. One hops over me. Then he pees on the floor. Then she gets by me. She pees on the floor. And I'm like, forget it. So now I start freaking out. I had a total meltdown. I'm like, anybody want to poop? Go ahead. Have at it. Go ahead. Take a big crap right on the carpet. Go ahead. At which point, it's like the manager tapped on the right forearm and called down the closer. Sherry comes in. She's like, go.
Take it.
Let me take care of this now. I was like, I hate these dogs. I can't stand these dogs. Now I got to clean up urine. So she takes them out. Now I'm knee deep in urine for the next like 5 to 7 minutes. Life is so good.
And Sherry's up. So you,
and
I mean,
now she's up anyway.
You accomplished nothing, really.
Zero.
I'm what, crazy.
I felt completely neutered at that moment. I was like, I can't do anything.
Why don't you have someone? Here's a suggestion. I don't know if it's possible. I would imagine with the mansion that you live in, you probably have enough
mansion
space for this.
Yes.
Why not do something where you have like a fenced in dog run?
Well, we're going to get the wireless fence. But
I'm saying, like, you could. Have you ever seen those before?
Yeah, yes, of course. But they can't. That can't happen. They'll go out. They'll eat the grass. The one of them tried to eat a rock the other day. They're babies. They need constant supervision.
Maybe you should have done why not the pad training? Maybe doing like the pee-pee pads for the first little bit.
Well, they're doing much better. I mean, it's not like they were, if we would have gotten them collared up and dressed appropriately and out quickly, they would have gone outside, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah, but that's not easy. But they've been in that cage the whole night.
For like 7 hours.
Yeah, they're ready to roll.
They want to get out of there. I sit down. I start to put one on. One jumps over me. Then she pees. Then I lost my composure. Then I'm like, forget it. Just go ahead.
I said nothing wrong. Why are you attacking me?
I can guarantee you didn't say forget it. It's probably another F word that came out of your mouth.
I was livid. It was a meltdown. Like I started, we have a door right there. I started hitting the door. I completely melted down.
Listen, puppies aren't easy, man. I mean, kids are tough. Puppies are no joke, especially when you get two of them.
But I felt so, like, my intent was, I'm going to go down. I'll take care of this. Let her sleep. She's been so great with them, and I couldn't even do it.
Yeah, but I don't blame. I mean, it was the thought that counts. I'm sure Sherry appreciated the fact. She knows what she married. I mean, if things get a little squirrely down there, she knew. Well, why do you think she was ready? I mean, she was ready. Like, she knew, like, this is probably not going
to
go well.
Disappointment. Like, she walks down to there. She's like, I'll take it from here. She's like, let me take it from here. I'm like, okay, I'll clean up the urine, though.
Well, that's nice. At least you did something.
Yeah, I guess.
You participated a little bit.
Pathetic. I like to nap.
Dude, we had the one time, Roxy with my bulldog, we had the one time and I was in bed and the dog was, I mean, she was crate trained, so she was in her crate. But this is when she was a puppy, so we actually would close the crate because we didn't want her, I mean, she can't roam around the house. God forbid, mm-hmm. like, who knows what she would eat and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, no bark, nothing, but I could have sworn while I was sleeping, like, I heard, like, it sounded like a little fart is what I thought I heard.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, maybe that was that her? Maybe that was me. Like, I thought maybe it was me.
Was it Mike Tannenbaum?
Mike T could have been. But it wasn't that loud. It wasn't like a real aggressive fart. It was like kind of, it was like a whatever. So I was like, maybe that was me. So I went back to sleep.
And then I heard, don't you know when you do that, though?
Well, I was sleeping, though. I was like, maybe I woke myself up with a fart. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just assuming that it was probably me. Like, I didn't think
maybe
it was the dog.
It was me.
So then I go back to sleep, and then I hear a louder one. I'm like, that definitely wasn't me.
Now you've confirmed that was not me.
So now I pop out of bed, and I walk through the door to see what's going on with the dog, and I look, and the dog had pushed its butt all the way up to the edge of the crate. I gave her credit because she didn't want to go to the bathroom in her crate, and she aggressively sprayed all over the wall.
Oh, my God.
Oh, now who had to clean that?
Who do you think had to clean it?
That's you?
Yeah, because I heard it. I mean, it was my fault. I heard the initial fart, and I didn't react to it because I thought it might have been me.
I had no control over my bowels.
So I felt terrible. I mean,
to wipe down the wall?
It was everywhere.
That's a crappy start to your day.
Yeah, it was like literally. Someone spit chocolate cake all over the wall. It was
All right. Chris, do you want to continue the dog matter on the walls, or do you want to get it to the Yankees?
We should get Canty a puppy.
Although what Rico was describing is kind of like the Yankees and how they played this weekend against the Rays.
That's a good point.
Kind of how it feels.
You make an excellent point.
Kind of how it feels. I mean, you waste the starts from your two best pitchers, and then the lineup, man, I don't know what's going on with these guys, but they can't put together quality at-bats. These guys are just going up there, flailing away at the plate. And they can't manufacture any runs. They can't, Dave, to save their life. They can't score. They can't score. So, I mean, at this point, it's just like we knew that defensively this is not going to be the best team. But because you have such a good lineup and because you have such a good bullpen, you're supposed to be able to overcome all of those other deficiencies. And they can't do that right now, Dave. And they just look worse because their lineup can't hit.
And
so I don't know how to feel about my team if I'm a Yankees fan. Like, it's disgusting to watch them play baseball, but this is who they are when they can't hit. They're a bad baseball team.
And the Rays own them. I mean, you talk about a rivalry. Is it even a rivalry when one team wins every single time you play against them?
No, seven straight series, Dave. Seven straight. It's not a rivalry.
No, I mean, the Rays have won 18 of the last 23 games they played against the Yankees. 18 of the last 23.
Mm.
I mean, how many series are you going to win when you get 11 hits and you strike out 37 times?
Yeah, not a lot. Not a lot. And Cole was really good yesterday, but timely hitting from Tampa, and then they tack on the additional run. And I mean,
and Jordan Montgomery wasn't bad on Saturday, Dave.
No,
Jordan Montgomery
fine.
Wasn't bad.
No, a couple home runs. At least he gave you some length.
Yeah. He gave you six innings. What, he allowed, three earned runs? Whatever it was. I mean, he was solid. He was solid. That was enough to be able to win that game if your bats do what they need to do. And the fact is, they're not. They're not hitting. They're not scoring runs.
And you can understand it against Glasnow. I completely understand that.
Michael Wacha, we saw him last year. He's terrible.
Six innings, one hit against Michael Wacha. Come on.
That's great.
Struck out nine times against Michael Wacha. And it wasn't like,
great.
I mean, how many times during that game were there just pitches, just cement mixer, just sitting there right in the middle of the plate that they missed? Like, they're not taking advantage. Like, there's pitchers making mistakes, and they're just not taking advantage right now.
It's completely inexcusable. All right, Yankees fans. So Chris, for the record, you're concerned, not panicked, right?
Yeah, I'm concerned, Dave.
Here's disgusted.
The thing. Here's the thing that, I am disgusted a little bit just the way they play because it doesn't seem like they have the urgency. And from a fundamental standpoint, this team leaves a lot to be desired, especially out in the field. But here's what gives me a little bit of hope, Dave. Like, there's no way that this lineup is going to be this bad the entire year. Like they have that saying in baseball, look at the back of the baseball card for a reason. Like eventually a lot of these guys are going to get on a roll when it comes to being able to hit and being able to get on base and being able to drive guys in. That's going to happen. My only question is, at what point will we be at with the starting rotation with this team, and how much gas are you going to take out of your bullpen between now and when guys do figure it out at the plate? Like, those are the two big questions that I have, because ultimately that's what you're going to have happen. You're going to have to rely on those areas of your team to be good, to be solid, in order to start winning the kind of games that we need to win in order to put ourselves in the driver's seat to win the division. So I'm concerned because I feel like this is going to have a compound effect. The Yankees' bats being so quiet, I feel like it's going to have a compound effect in terms of what this team is going to be able to do when we get to June, when we get to July. It's a huge concern, Dave. I don't know how they get better in the short term if those bats don't wake up.
All right, so let's hear from you guys then. 800-919-3776. Chris is worried, not panicked. What's your take on where we are right now with your 5-10? Well, it sounds nice to say that. You're 5-10, New York Yankees.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
See, I got some at the station trying to bring me down, like Rick, who's been very mean to me all show long. And then RJ, as we come back from this break, says, have a great segment. I mean, what a nice guy.
He feels bad.
Because you've been so mean?
Well, no, because, I mean, he piled on a little bit, and that's not who he is.
So you think he has some guilt happening right now?
The Knicks are great. I love watching this team.
I don't understand how I get beat up for saying I enjoy watching.
Scalding. Scalding hot takes from Dave Rothenberg.
You are a horrendous human being.
Breaking it down to a fine powder. I love watching this team.
The Knicks are great.
What did I do wrong?
I love watching this team.
Chris, what did I do wrong?
You didn't do anything wrong, Dave. Don't let them make you feel self-conscious, man. You didn't do anything wrong. You're good. You can enjoy your team winning basketball games. It's been a long time since you could say the Knicks are consistently competitive. A long time.
I think we should mock draft the entire first round, by the way.
Dave, you know I'm down. You know I'm down.
Let's mock draft the entire yeah. Well, I don't want to stop at 11 all the way through 32.
And if you're going to go to 32, then you might as well take it to 34.
Seven rounds, supplemental picks and everything.
Yeah, just take it to 34, Dave. Might as well.
We'll do the first. Here's what we'll do. We'll do the first round on Thursday. We'll do rounds 2 and 3 for Friday.
I love it.
Yes.
Love it. Love it.
Rick, you in?
No. That's an easy answer. No.
But you know he's just saying that, though, Dave. He's just saying he's not going to do it because he doesn't want to do it. But if we move forward with it as a show, you know, because he's a good teammate, he's going to get involved.
He'll have no choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll have to get involved.
Listen, after show meetings, some of us make different decisions. I'll make the decision not to do the mock draft. I'm not, or take Tuesday.
There's no way you would do it.
You say Thursday and Friday?
If Dave and I did mock drafts, there's no way that you wouldn't turn one in if we're doing it as a show unit. No way you wouldn't do it.
How about you guys do the drafts, and then I will mock them?
Don't be a Rick.
Yeah, no wonder
they said that. Let's play to my strength. Let's play to my strength.
You are
right?
a great mocker, by the way. The best. Aaron Boone on his Yankees team saying, guys, we got to respond.
One thing is we got great players in that room. They do know that at their core. Obviously, we're getting punched in the mouth right now, and we got to work. We got to work our way through it. You got to grind your way through it. You got to fight your way through it. And that's what we'll continue to do. Continue to try and put these guys in the best position to go out and be successful. But, you know, you got to start having some small successes individually that carry over throughout the lineup. And then that's when the confidence starts growing. But you got to start having some small successes. The reality is the last couple days, maybe we've had intermittent some better at-bats here and there. But it's got to improve.
Some better at-bats. You had 11 hits in the 3-game series. I mean, better at-bats.
He's grasping, Dave.
I didn't see him, Dave. I didn't see it. Rico, did you see it? Because
I saw some really bad at-bats.
They were terrible.
Some really bad at-bats.
That Aaron Judge won in the fifth yesterday. That was a bad at-bat. Full count, and you chased that one out of the zone? What was that, a changeup out of the zone?
I mean, there's a lot of guys struggling. I mean, just top to bottom.
They're all struggling.
You said we got a lot of great players. Well, unfortunately, I mean, they don't look like, they don't look like great players right now.
No.
I mean, I'm sitting here looking at, I mean, what Judge has done. I mean, 4 for his last 24. Stanton, 3 for his last 26. Frazier's been, I mean, he's 1 for his last 24. He's got no
He's unplayable now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but that speaks to the earlier point I made. Like, what do you do? Hitting is difficult. I don't care what the sport is. We have David Quinn on. He talks about defense. We have, you know, Thibs talking about defense, because that's effort stuff. That's fundamental stuff that you can control. Hitting in Major League Baseball has never been more difficult than it is right now. So there are going to be times. You don't want your whole team going through it at the same time, obviously. But when you can't hit. So what are you bringing to the table that contributes to your team winning? That's got to be great at-bats, even if you're not getting a hit. Working pitch counts. Running the bases well. Playing good defense. There are guys, that's not how they're built, unfortunately. That's my biggest problem with this team. Like, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball right now.
Yes, they're built amazingly. But you didn't think it would rear its ugly head now. You didn't think through 15 games you'd be 5-10.
Well, no, but here's the thing, though. Because we expected them to hit. This team is not built to not hit. This team doesn't hit, they don't win. Starting pitching outside of Gerrit Cole is not great. Defense is awful. Running the bases is bad. It doesn't even exist, really. I mean, there's no... Now, who's the threat to steal a base in this team? If Gardner's not playing, nobody.
No one. I mean, Tyler Wade, when they bring... I mean, Jay Bruce retired. Jay Bruce just said, I'm out. I'm done.
Mistakes all over the place, though. I mean, it's a tough play that Urshela should make. Odor, terrible. Turning that double play. Torres has to make that play on the Margot steal. Frazier's a circus in, I don't care where he's playing, in left field.
Yep, he's a bad
Hicks makes a couple
player.
Dumb mistakes that you can't get, because especially when you're not hitting, you have to make plays like that. You have to. You can't afford not to make plays like that.
Well, that's why they're 5-10. Let's get to some of these calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Roger in the Bronx. Good morning, Roger. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Roger?
What's up, and Chris, thank you for that Super Bowl. Appreciate
it.
My
man.
Guys, all I'm going to say is this. I am so glad I'm not watching the regular season this year. I made up my mind after what they did in Game 2 last year.
Wait, what? Hang on a second. You're not watching the Yankees?
I keep track of them, like score-wise, to see what the players did, but I don't watch a full game.
And why?
I'm not wasting my time with them.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
The 5-10 doesn't speak enough to why?
You know, you're the worst. You guys can talk to this guy. I don't want any part of this guy.
Don't be
you're the worst. So they're 5-10. You're not watching. They'll get hot at some point. Then you'll get back in. They'll get to the playoffs, and you'll be glued to your television. You're the worst fan.
I'm the worst fan. What about you, Knicks fans?
Roger. I'm going to take your side here with the Yankee stuff. Don't come after my Knicks, please.
Okay. All right. Which one are you going,
Book? Hey, Roger. Here's what to do, though. Here's what to do, because I can't fully get on board with not watching your team. Just at least make sure you watch the Orioles series, where you guys can actually win a series.
No, he's giving up the entire regular season. He's saving it all for the postseason.
It is hard to watch, though, man. As a Yankees fan, this brand
of
baseball.
You're a fan of the team.
It's hard to watch, though, Dave. It really is, man. Like, I can understand it if you got to take a step away for a couple of weeks until this team figures it out. Because watching them right now, it's awful baseball.
Wait, you can't take weeks. So you can't be a fan and not watch your team for weeks. What is happening here?
Dave, I can understand it. It can be so painstaking to watch them play baseball. I can understand a fan wanting to take some time away from their team. Hell, they're giving days off to the players in the first 3 weeks. Might as well give some off to the fans the way they're playing. Might as well. Like, I know we watch every single game because in part it's our jobs. But, Dave, this is a tough watch. It's hard to watch this Knicks team.
It's part of being a fan. It's not always sunshine and roses. When your team stinks, you watch the games.
Dave, remember how hard it was in that 17-win season to watch the Knicks?
Yes.
That's kind of how it feels right now when I'm watching the Yankees. That's how it feels. It's a hard watch.
All right. It's a hard watch. You know what? Let me get at my violin. That's what being a fan is. I mean, you don't think it's been hard to watch the Giants and watch the Rangers for a couple of years and watch the Knicks for the last 20 years? This is part of what being a fan is. You endure the bad times. It makes the better times better.
Dave, this isn't supposed to be bad times for us, though, Dave.
Well,
this isn't supposed to be that.
A bad time, though.
Dave, this is supposed to be a championship-caliber season. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a year in the first 15 games. You're five games below 500. It's not supposed to be that type of year.
This right here is what makes Yankees fans the worst.
The worst.
The worst. The Yankees fans could be the worst fan base in the city.
Here you guys go.
They could be.
Here you go.
It's not supposed to be like this. I can't. We got a guy calling.
It's not supposed to be like this.
Well, it is. So now I won't watch? Well, yeah, then go away. Then this guy, just go away. Given your Yankee card, you're not a fan. You are the definition of a fraud. I'm not watching the regular season, but when the playoffs come here, I'll get back on board. Shut up. Go away.
It's fan load management.
It's pathetic. It's fan load management. Greg Mentally Popovich is running
I understand it. I understand it, Dave. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. I understand
it. So, Chris, why don't you not watch the Atlanta series?
But, Dave, I'm going to watch the games. I'm absolutely going to watch the games, in part because it's my job. I'm going to watch the games. But I can understand why some fans would want to turn off the TV the way that this team is playing. I get it. I get it. It's bad baseball. There's no other way around it. There's no other way to describe it.
15-game bad run, Rick. 15 games.
We're boycotting. We're not watching
it. It's the worst start in 24 years, Dave.
That makes the point even more.
What do you mean it makes the point even more? This is not what Yankees fans are used to.
Oh, my God. Let's go to Will in the car. Will, they're unbelievable. Will, good morning. Are you still watching, Will, or are you going to take some time off?
Yes. No, I like to suffer when they're bad. I watched them when Mattingly batted third and Steve Balboni batted cleanup. So I'm used to that type of thing. Listen, the way they hit is atrocious. If you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, they see ball and hit ball to all fields. Right now, we don't do that. We must lead the league not only in hitting into double plays, but taking fastballs down the middle of the plate. It's so frustrating, I can't take it sometimes. But as a Yankee fan, I'm hoping they're going to turn things around. I'm a little concerned about Boone, because usually Boone at this time will get himself thrown out of a game, but because of his heart condition, I'm not sure if he can do that. And Dave, good job with the electric fence. You're going to like it because it'll help you with your dogs. Last one. Where did those fans get the baseballs to throw out on the field the other day? Any idea?
It wasn't from Yankees home runs, I can tell you that.
Wow.
That was terrible.
Here's the really thing, though. Like, let's not get carried away. Yeah, but let's not get carried away. I mean, Tampa owns the Yankees, and right now that's pretty much it. I mean, offensively, they're not very good either.
Yeah.
Statistically. I mean, maybe against the Yankees. Obviously, against the Yankees, it's a different story, but statistically, they're not.
Joey Wendell is a problem.
It's almost the most disrespectful when the guy wears no batting gloves and his wedding ring.
Right. Right.
Still goes deep.
Right. Absolute bomb.
They play baseball the right way, though. They may not be the most talented team, but they play baseball the right way.
Which gives them a chance. That's how you compete with the amount of money that they spend. You got a bunch of guys that, I mean, no one's really heard about. But when all the guys know how to play baseball and play it well, you can have success.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Rob Howe covers Iowa basketball. He says he has been able to confirm with a source that Iowa guard C.J. Frederick will be entering the transfer portal. So, obviously, it's big news for RJ's college basketball picks entering next season.
The Knicks are great. I love watching this team.
You're such a bad guy. You're probably the wrong guy for me to be picking on. All right, let's pick on this guy. Ian Begley, the best. Host of The Putback on SNY TV. We welcome him in. Covers the Knicks and all NBA. Good morning, Ian Begley. How are you?
Dave, what's happening, man? How are you?
We are well. We're in great spirits with this Knicks team right now. How shocked, I mean, that's got to be the word, right? Shocked are you that the Knicks are sitting here in sixth place, a half a game out of fourth place, and have won six in a row, late stages of the season? How shocked are you that we're here?
Dave, I'm shocked. I'm very shocked. But before I get to that, I'm depressed, because when James Harden went down with that hamstring injury, it really took him out of the MVP running. And that means the world did not get to see the video that you had, that you were going to air out had he won MVP. So I just want to get that out of the way, how upset I am about that. But yeah, let's get to the Knicks. Yes, I'm shocked. I mean, listen, offseason, coming into the, we thought this was going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA. A lot of people did. And, you know, we thought Julius Randle was eventually going to get traded at some point this year when they drafted Obi Toppin. Instead, Julius Randle's an all-star, maybe the most improved player in the league, maybe an All-NBA candidate. And the Knicks are sitting here in playoff position, and it's a credit to Randle and Tom Thibodeau and the way this group is defended. And, yeah, I think a lot of people are stunned, and the Knicks have outplayed everybody's preseason expectations.
Bagels, this is going to seem like a stupid question, but I figured I'll ask it anyway. Randall's here to stay, right? Like, he's a part of the future with this Knicks team.
Everything I've heard says that, yes. I mean, I don't even think – like, I think if there was a star, disgruntled star that they were looking to trade for, I think they would look to include everything but Randall before they put Randall in there, because they see him as a piece to build with moving forward. I think they really respect how he handled himself this offseason, came into this season, and has obviously done what he's done and has shown that he can handle New York, which is not insignificant when you're talking about how the Knicks kind of value with players. That matters. And so I think for all those reasons, he's going to be a part of the long-term plans for this group.
Bagels, I hate to bring this up, but after yesterday's game, Zion Williamson waxed poetically about playing in Madison Square Garden. He says he loves it there. He played there in college. That was his first game as a pro yesterday. I know it's too early to speculate about where his free agent future is going to be, but in looking at it big picture, have Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau done enough of a job with the turnaround of this program to make the Knicks a destination this coming summer?
You know, I think they have started to go on that path. I don't want to say that they're there yet. I think it's a little premature. But I think if you establish that you have this young core that can win games on its own, and then you're a free agent, you're looking at that, and you see that you can be the guy to take them over the hump, I mean, I think that's attractive, no matter who the coaches, who the executives are. I think it only helps that Leon Rose, you know, has ties to so many players because of his previous job at CAA. And, you know, Tom Thibodeau, listen, if they win games and he's a reason because they're winning games, I think that only helps if you're free agent picks. But I think, you know, it's too premature, too soon to say, hey, they've changed exactly how players look at the Knicks, how free agents look at the Knicks. I think they are moving towards that direction.
He is the host of The Putback on SNY TV. He's the great Ian Begley breaking down the Knicks with us right now. Ian, you know, last year a lot of people were, I guess it's fair to say, disappointed in what R.J. Barrett was in year one. He's made tremendous strides. He has become a really, really good player in year two, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think the shooting really surprised everybody because that was, I think, one of the biggest question marks coming out of year one. And I don't think anybody would have had him shooting 40% from three since January 1, which is what he's done. He's around there. And that's remarkable. You know, he shot the three well. He's hit free throws, and I think that, you know, you see that, and that changes how you view him as a player, and that changes how you view the Knicks moving forward because, you know, big question marks surrounding him after year one. He's answered a lot of those questions in year two, and, you know, he's done it on both ends of the floor. Tom Thibodeau just sings his praises as a worker in the way he approaches his craft. So, you know, whatever his ceiling is, it seems like R.J. Barrett's going to reach that ceiling because of the way he approaches the game. And the idea that he's shooting the way he's shooting this year, big positive for him, big positive for the Knicks.
Hey, Ian, did Dave tell you what he just recently did, which he thought was a good idea?
No, what happened?
He got talked into not just one dog. He was, his wife didn't want to split them up, so he got two brand new Labrador puppies.
White Labs, yeah.
Puppies.
Wait a second. Anyway, but your kids they're like old enough to take care of themselves.
In,
right?
in theory, they're old enough to take care of them. At the pet store, they were going to take care of them, and then magically, once we got home, they don't do as much as we thought. In fact, that they might. Ian, yes.
Dave, you got suckered into that, huh?
I am the worst.
Bagels, here's the best. He tells the story today. Bagels, he tells the story in the air today. So he's past like all the stuff. Like his kids can fully take care of themselves, which is beautiful. He decides to let Sherry sleep in this weekend. He's gonna be the guy that goes down and lets the dogs out. He can't get them harnessed in time, so the one jumps over him and pees on the floor, and the other one evades him, and then that one pees on the floor too.
And then I gave up. And then she had to come down and she had to tag in. She's like, "Listen, you go back to bed. Let me just take it from here."
Oh, Dave, trying to be a good husband, give your wife some time to sleep in, and look what happened.
Yeah, I don't understand how this interview went there, though. I mean, we're having this great Knicks conversation. Why did you go
Bagels
there?
Bagels likes that stuff because Bagels is a part of the show. Awesome. He made the bet with the naked video. He likes hearing this stuff. He's a friend. He's not
when
just
Harden
a guest.
When Harden went down, Ian, was your first thought like, "Oh, come on, we were going to get to see the video."
I was so upset. Because he went down. And they're like, all right, maybe he'll, you know, miss a couple games. And now here we are, and he's totally out of the race.
you can hear how upset he is.
People want to see that video, Dave.
Down? Can we double down in some way, shape?
I will. At some point in the next 6 months, I will give you guys another opportunity to win the video. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all we can ask. That's all we can ask. Bagels, let me ask you about the Nets. How Dave, apparently Dave could see it coming that Kevin Durant was going to get hurt again.
Yeah, I don't think that's a shock. Ian, do you think it's a shock that Kevin Durant is hurt yet again?
Well, listen, I think they're fortunate because it's a thigh contusion, right? It's not like it has anything to do with the Achilles or the hamstring. So I think this is a pretty straightforward deal where, you know, he maybe misses a couple games, but he should be back. The bigger concern is obviously just having him on the court with Kyrie Irving and having both those guys on the court with James Harden. It's only happened 7 games this year. They've only played about 180 minutes together. So you're going to have them on the court in the best case scenario for a handful of games before the playoffs start. It's just, that is not a lot of time for these guys to be on the floor together. I don't have a ton of concern about it. It's just not ideal.
Now, let me ask you a question. So let's just say the big three. Right, Kyrie, KD, and Harden. They end up losing. I mean, Adebayo hits the game, you know, the game winning shot. Kyrie took a couple interesting contested shots. Are we at the point now where, as good as Kyrie is James Harden is the most important piece here?
I think so, Gil. Especially if all those guys are healthy playing together, I do see it that way because from day one, when James Harden came to Brooklyn, he deferred. He was setting his teammates up. He was like a pass-first player. He was obviously getting his shots and scoring when the Nets needed him to do that. But he went into deferential mode and setting guys up. And to me, that really set this whole thing up for success when he adapted in that way. And then Kyrie Irving said, listen, James, you're the point guard. I'm the shooting guard. And, you know, pretty much established that, which I thought was also big. But I see Harden, because of that, the role that he took on and the way that he changed his game coming here as the most important piece in this whole thing. And certainly, you know, if he's healthy and the other two are healthy, their offensive firepower is through the roof. But if it's Durant and it's Irving, obviously it's a little bit different. It's not the same thing. But I have to credit Irving a lot for the way that he has kind of adjusted when Harden came here. And I think because of that, it tells you that all three of these guys are completely bought in for the right reasons. And that's why I don't have a huge concern about the idea that they haven't shared the court that much together heading into the playoffs.
Ian Begley, you're a stand-up man. We enjoy the putback on SNY TV. We enjoy your conversation, and we will hopefully talk to you soon. Don't be a stranger.
I appreciate you, fellas. You guys have a great day.
All right, there you have it. I mean, one of the best.
He's the best.
Nice guy, hardworking guy. He's really risen through the ranks, and look where he is now, Ian Begley. Great, great guy.
I was actually watching the Nets game, watching that Charlotte game, and I watched the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize this. Did you know that? So, I mean, KD, I don't even want to count it because KD got hurt early in that game. And the reason why I asked the Harden question, that with Kyrie and KD and no Harden, they're only 5-5.
Kyrie, KD, and no, really. So without, so Harden is the big piece then from those
feels like
kind of numbers, huh?
Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah, I think
the way that he sets up the offense.
That's a wild thing to say.
Well, yeah, but listen, it's not supposed to work that way. I think that's why everyone says it's a concern, because it's not supposed to happen that way, where all of a sudden you can put this new team together and they only play 7 games together the entire season and end up getting to the NBA Finals. That's not how it's supposed to happen. Well, I know you do, and I think a lot of people do. I just, it's not, it shouldn't be like that, but maybe this is different because they are. I mean, when was the last time, if ever, you've seen that kind of firepower on the court at the same time?
Maybe the Warriors. Maybe. I guess you could argue the Bulls, but I mean, this is really almost unprecedented. Guests on DCR Peer via the Goodyear Hotline at DCR, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. We'll get to the Yankees in the Knicks calls. Line them up, 800-919-3776. If you missed this yesterday from Zion, so the Knicks win the game, and then Zion says this.
New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't even lie to you.
I love that. There was like 15 seconds of the New York. It's so great. I love it here. It's the most wonderful place in the entire world. Oh, my God. I better say something nice about New Orleans or I'm going to get in big trouble down there.
Obviously, I don't have to say. I'm going to say it. I don't have to say. You guys just know that I love
New
Orleans.
That goes without saying that New Orleans is my first true love.
Yeah, that can't happen for New Orleans, though. I mean, it would be great to have him as a Knick. But, I mean, the NBA
that's
did New Orleans.
Years away anyway.
No, I know. But, I mean, the NBA did New Orleans a solid. Because I still
think
the lottery
is fixed. You
really
believe that, don't you? Yes. You believe that they gave them Zion?
Yeah, after losing Anthony Davis? What would that team have turned into?
They probably would have moved.
And who else? I mean, in Memphis needed John Morant. The Knicks, though, I mean, we like to believe that the Knicks need somebody. But the Knicks are still a huge brand.
They are a huge brand. And listen, R.J. Barrett is no consolation prize. He's really
great.
Good player. And he's getting better. He's 20 years old, for God's sakes.
Yes, I don't think he's at, I don't even say I think. He's not at the level of Zion or Ja Morant.
Listen, those guys are star players now. But R.J. Barrett's a very good player.
No, he's a very good player. He's pretty much your second option on this Knicks team, on a winning team. I'm fine with that. Have a really good player on a winning team.
How good
I'm
is he going
that.
To be when you get a point guard to work with him?
It'll be night and day for him to have somebody that can actually set up an offense, put him in a spot. He doesn't need to handle the ball as much as he's handling the ball. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. They'll all benefit from that.
Yeah, everybody. Well, of course they will. Let's go to the calls. 800-919-3776 down to Florida, where it's his new residence, and that is Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning, my friend. Save, I'll help you with the dog. I know time is short, but I can help you.
You say you're
going to
help me with the dog.
What
are you going to do? At 4 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be at my house so you can take them out?
If I had to and had the means to do it, my conditions are a little loose now, but I would definitely do that. You don't go for the invisible fence. There's a better way to do it. How old are the puppies?
They were born on February 5th.
Okay, all right. So you still have plenty of time. The invisible fence, I work with them. You're better off with persevering. Get something called Bitter Apple. It's very organic, and you have to have a lot of patience, and you have to stay with them, drink some coffee, and have a stern voice, and they will listen to you because you're feeding them, and you put their food in. It's a whole strategy. I'll talk to you off the air if you want about it. It's very easy to do, but you have to put a few hours in immediately before they're 6 months old. Anyway, good luck with them. You go through some of these things are pretty funny. The game last night, or yesterday afternoon, was so wonderful. Thank God, you guys are on the air a lot, and the joy in Colin and Larry. And I'll tell you, it's so wonderful to watch them. Ricky were perfectly right with R.J. Barrett. He's a little loose with the ball, but he doesn't play like a 20-year-old. I have a gecko. You know how geckos are in Florida? I got one in the garage. I nicknamed him Tibbs. Let me tell you, this team is so fun to watch. They play their asses off, and if you don't play defense, what's his name? Lonzo. Boy, you hear what Stan Van Gundy said to him after the game?
He played it early.
Him?
He was livid about that. He was livid.
Well, you learn that hop in sixth grade. You stay home. Look at Derrick Rose's face when he started going up in the air. His eyeballs popped out when he saw Bullock wide open. That was a great win. And this kid, Nerlens Noel, he was touted highly in Kentucky, and he had some injuries. Those blocks, he made two blocks in the last two nights, man, that were just fantastic. I can't wait to watch the Knick game, Dave. And Rick and Chris, it's just so much fun to watch. They're in every game, and no one's going to want to play them. If they finish, in the fifth or sixth spot, they have a chance to win a first round. Fifth spot, they may have a chance to win a first round series. I don't know. I don't care. I'm just happy with what we have. But this guy's a great coach, man. A great coach. Finally, we need a point guard. Back to square one.
They do. And thanks for the call, Spike, and we appreciate it. Rick, if you were to have another child, is there any chance you would name him Nerlens?
No.
No.
No. And we're not having another child.
I think you might.
I'm going to get a vasectomy. No, we're not. Yes.
You might get the vasectomy, but it might be too late.
I don't disagree with that. But the hope is that I get the vasectomy before I make a decision to do something that I shouldn't. It's not even really a decision. I just can't help it. I mean, it's just... I got a problem. I don't understand. You want this to happen because you got the puppies now. This is what you want. You think it would be hilarious?
If you had another kid?
Yeah, you think it would be hilarious.
If you dialed in tomorrow... And you're like, guys, listen, not for air yet, but Cass is pregnant. I would be thrilled with that.
I would have to dial. I would have to take the machine and go somewhere else. Probably, she'd probably kick me out. She'd be so mad at me.
She doesn't want another. She will at some point.
Yeah, at some point. But right now, in the moment, like today, no. She's like, you better go get a vasectomy like yesterday. Because she doesn't even trust me.
You can't.
I don't
be
trust
trusted.
Myself. Well, you can trust you could trust yourself in that situation. No,
no. None of us can be trusted.
No, it's a tough spot to be in.
Let's go to Rex in Brooklyn. Good morning, Rex. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I love watching this, I mean, listening to the show, but I have some concerns with the Yankees, man. And I was listening to what you guys were saying earlier, and a lot of it is true, but I was thinking, too, like, at what point, right, do you start calling a duck a duck? I mean, you look up and down the team, and you can take the pitch starts off of them, right? They can't bat the average at all, you know? They strike out about, 10, 12 times a game. They have, one pitcher who could give you at least six innings? Not even seven, like six. You know, and they play no defense. So, I mean, I don't know of a good team that could win like that, you know? So, I don't know.
When we say win like that, Rex, what does that mean? I mean, do you think that they can't beat Detroit when they play them? And Cleveland when they play them? And Baltimore when they play them?
Because if you look at the team, right, like how they progressed in 2017, they really haven't gotten any better. I mean, the average is going down. I mean, they still hit homers, and I think that's a part of the problem. Like, the homers and the wins in the regular season, like the last couple of years, it kind of masks their real issue, is that it's just a poorly put-together team. Like, they really are. Like, they the average is terrible. The batting average is terrible. They can't situational hit. You see, there's no base running whatsoever.
You know? Yeah, I know you say that. Listen, I don't necessarily disagree with you. And they're playing awful baseball. It's tough to even watch them play right now. But I mean, it's
yeah, and they don't even have a manager.
Rex, to say that it hasn't worked, I don't think is completely true. It hasn't you know taken you where you want to go, which is obviously the World Series. But I mean, you're consistently right there.
You win the division every year, and you're in the playoffs every single season.
And it looks bad right now. You're not wrong. It looks awful. I mean, we thought the pitching would be an issue, and it's an issue. And right now, you got pretty much.
You didn't think the offense would be so disgusting.
No, exactly right.
Therein lies the real problem. I mean, Gleyber Torres has an RBI, Rick. He has one more than you and I.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of that is that he's playing shortstop now, because he wasn't good last year either.
But it's almost an impossibility. You're batting in the middle of the Yankees lineup, and you have one RBI in 15 games?
Well, you have to hit. I mean, you actually have to get hits to drive in runs. Or make contact with the baseball that drive and runs. They had 11 hits in the series, Dave.
I know. It really is. It really is unbelievable. All right, so KJZ comes your way in a couple minutes. Canty's already there. He's getting started at 8 o'clock with the guys. And Alan Hahn is going to join the show at 8:10. So a lot to get into with the New York flavor, right? Zach Wilson, obviously, we're a week plus away from him joining the Jets. The Knicks in another terrific win. The Mets in there rolling along. And then, of course, the Yankees. So it's a lot to do on KJZ coming your way in just a couple of minutes. Let's get what we do now at this portion of the show and bring on the three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR.
Before I even hit the third star, I'm going to mention who's not going to get a star, and that is the New York Yankees. As you mentioned, they're just god-awful weekend against the
Rays. How are you feeling with this, Santiago? Are you a nervous wreck with the Yankees right now, or you're fine?
Fortunately, the Knicks and Rangers have kept me busy enough. I just can't. I can't be bothered to panic about the Yankees just yet. Check back with me in the summer. See how things go.
Sandy, what size jersey you wear?
Don't wear a jersey.
I'm going to send you a Tsutsugo jersey. You want
nice.
One of those?
Nice.
Number three.
I apologize to everyone listening for Rick this morning.
No, you don't. It's entertaining. Let's call it
terrible.
Free range Ricky is enjoyable and it's entertaining and it's fun. Third star is going to go to the teams that actually do well in this town.
Yes. Well,
and that is the Knicks, the Rangers, and also the Mets. So good weekend for Jacob DeGrom, Marcus Stroman. And so on and so on. And that leads us to...
Number two.
The great analysis that we got from Dave Rothenberg is that...
The Knicks are great. I love watching this team.
Yeah, the Knicks are very, very fun to watch.
They'll probably have them host an NBA show or bring them on KJZ to break down the Knicks.
It's very enjoyable. And we're not going to elaborate on that at all. They're just very fun to watch.
That's basketball analytics, everyone.
Number one. No, before you get to number one, are they fun to watch?
They are fun to watch, but the
All right, so what did I say that's so outlandish?
There's nothing outlandish, but the least you could do is elaborate why they're fun to watch.
It's a scalding hot take.
They play great defense. They play hard. They compete for each other, and they keep every and they're in every game that they play.
If I was allowed to talk, maybe I would.
No, we're not doing that.
Speaking of violins,
let's go. Gloves are off, baby. 7-round mock draft next Thursday. Full 3 hours of the show.
Number one was going to be Zion Williamson because he just adds to the speculation that we all love, and that's going to feed in for the next 2 to 3 years out here. But now I've decided to change that. Number one's going to be Ian Begley. Retention, because I appreciate how he's so desperate to see that video that he's willing to change the terms and do whatever it takes to get that video out there. So, Dave, come up with something.
At some point in the next 6 months, I promise you I will give you guys another opportunity. By the way, you can write the check to the Chris Canty Foundation, Rick, because
it's not over yet.
You want to increase the bet?
No.
Yeah, I'll give you something else that you can increase the amount of money.
I don't understand how that, do you? How much me and Begley want to see you naked. It's amazing to me.
Sadistic. You guys are lunatics. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro Canty, Rothenberg, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.